Mark Saltzman is still online from Toronto. It's starting to slow down. I guess your kids are getting ready to go back to school, eh, Mark?
Yeah, Tuesday after the long weekend, kids are getting ready, and that's how it goes. Yeah.
Now, how old are your kids?
My twins are 9, so they're going into grade 4, and my little guy is 7, and Ethan is going into grade 2.
Now, I wonder if by the time they hit high school, if they will be a tablet will be like standard for them in school.
Yeah, you know, they predict that. I think initially at the post-secondary level, a lot of textbooks will be going digital, and whether it's on a dedicated ebook reader or a tablet that, of course, has a lot more functionality than just reading ebooks.
Well, of course, Amazon just had that great announcement about university textbooks all being online.
It's very exciting. And I think that's where it's going is digital textbooks. And I remember the days in University of Toronto, you know, carrying around a backpack full of heavy textbooks. So, I know my kids are probably going to have a very different experience. I think it's going to trickle down. I think that high school and middle school, you know, junior high students are also going to see the value in tablets. Like we said before the break, Steve, I don't think it's a complete replacement for a computer. A computer has 10 times the memory. It has a physical keyboard, which is probably more comfortable and ergonomic for kids to type on for a long period of time. It's not as easy to get your content on and off a tablet as it is a laptop because most don't have USB ports or a memory card slot. So it's not a perfect, both of them have their pros and cons, form factors.
Now, you said you had about 24 tablets in your home office, and I try and keep it to a minimum myself. And I feel kind of burned now because I spent a whole bunch of time playing with HP's tablet and learning WebOS and getting my head around that. And then they say, we're not going to make it anymore.
I don't think anybody expected that. Huh. I mean, the product was only in the Canadian marketplace a couple of weeks, and HP pulled the plug on its touchpad tablet. I gave it a decent review. The thing I did like the most was its platform, WebOS. I thought that the interface was very clever. That card view instead of static icons, seeing them as something that RIM Research in Motion borrowed heavily for their playbook tablet. I like the multitasking. I like the instant universal search. I mean, I really thought HP did a good job. Instead of just going with the free Android platform, the open source platform from Google, they spent the time and resources. You know, they bought Palm for $1.2 billion, and that came with WebOS. They tweaked it and made it optimized for a tablet. And then for what? They just discontinued it. I guess they reassessed the market. Apple has, 90-odd% market share, if not 98% from the last thing I read. So it's really hard to go up against the iPad. So they probably just thought, let's cut our losses. And they're even talking about selling off their PC division as well.
Yeah, that's another step. And that one is a little more understandable because that's a very slim margin business. Although it's profitable, that's been done before by a major manufacturer. IBM, of course, spun off the Lenovo division, and both companies are doing still very well, thank you.
Right.
So HP, I think, will see that whole PC division move into a new entity and still be around and still be competitive. So when you look at the strengths of the different platforms, because, you know, we do live in an iPad world, it seems, ourselves. What are the other options? I mean, when people walk into a store, do you think they should just go straight to the iPad and just not even look at the playbook or any of the Android tablets? Where are their strengths and competitive advantages?
Right. So I don't think you should just go and buy one without playing around with a few of them, whether it's at a friend's house or a colleague's desk or, you know, at the retail store itself. But, you know, I think that there are viable alternatives to the Apple iPad. My personal preference and professional preference is the iPad 2, but Samsung, for example, has a wonderful Android-powered tablet, the Galaxy Tab, the 10.1, which is a 10.1-inch tablet. It's thinner and lighter than the iPad, and it's fast, and it's Android, which is, again, Google's platform, has a lot of advantages. Steve, I know you're familiar with this. It's an open source platform, so it's free to develop for. So it's got a very vibrant community behind it of app developers. There is some exclusive Google applications built in because it is Google's apps. It is Google's mobile operating system. Multitasking is very easy on it, easier than the iPad. And finally, the web browser, can access more websites than you can on the iPad because there isn't a limitation with Flash. It's no secret Steve Jobs is not a fan of Adobe's plugin for animation and video and gaming, and as a result, when you're surfing the web on Safari, which is the built-in browser on the iPad, you can't access all websites that you want to. It hasn't happened to me a lot, frankly, over the past year and a half that I've been playing around with iPad and iPad 2. But for some, it's a real issue. So Android has some advantages over the iPad. And they've got an app store, as you know, Android Market, it's called, mm-hmm. with 250,000 applications. So there's certainly enough software out there for everyone, whatever your tastes and budget is.
Now, have you had a chance to do much research on the Amazon tablet, which is just on the horizon?
I haven't. So there's a lot of rumblings about it, that this could be the first true iPad killer. If it's priced aggressively below $300, they're saying. Some analysts are predicting under $300. That's $200 less than the iPad, so that certainly gives it a competitive advantage. Amazon has made a lot of investments in their digital marketplace, whether it's books or music or, you can imagine an iTunes-like Amazon around the corner. So certainly content is king, mm-hmm. as Apple has learned. So I think Amazon's in a great place, especially they have a very strong brand in the U.S., and they've done very well with their Kindle e-book reader. But there are other players. Sony is announcing today, the 31st of August, they announced their Sony Tablet S, which is their Android tablet that I've had a chance to play around with, a very nice tablet. Toshiba has a $400 tablet with USB and memory card slots. So for those who want to easily throw in a memory stick to double the memory or, to easily get photos on or off the device, you can do that. So there's lots of options out there.
And well, what about the great Canadian offering, the Playbook?
So first of all, it's a 7-inch tablet. So for those who want something smaller, it is more portable. You can slip it into, say, a suit pocket or into a purse. It is fast. It also has a dual-core processor for lots of speed. It's a beautiful screen. It's got dual cameras for video chatting and snap pictures and take video. I'm just not a fan of how they decided to handle email. I find it ironic that Research in Motion, a Canadian company that got its name through push mail, the ability to get your email pushed to you whenever a new message arrives, the irony is that you can't pick up your mail on a Playbook unless you have a nearby BlackBerry.
It's almost like they made that feature out of fear that their BlackBerry handsets were going by the wayside.
Yeah, it's a good point. I haven't thought of it in that way. Certainly they say that the decision was because of security. The bulk of RIM's business is still businesses who are, of course, concerned about security. And, without question, the Playbook and the BlackBerry smartphones are the most secure devices when it comes to, meeting all the different policies out there. I think RIM meets 400 and something odd policies. So to really protect your data. So the way that they explained it to me was, if you have a BlackBerry and a Playbook on you, let's say you're in the back of a taxi, your smartphone's in your pocket, but you're reading your email on the Playbook. If you forget the Playbook tablet in the taxi, once that connection is broken with your smartphone because you've walked away from it, there's no data that resides on the Playbook itself. Therefore, you're not putting your company's information at risk. Mm. There are ways around that. I mean, there are tablets that have passwords, and all tablets have a PIN, and there's ways of remotely wiping your data. But that's what RIM said to me. I don't really buy it, but that's their rationale. And plus, Jim Balsillie said about 4 months ago, we understand that this feature, they call BlackBerry Bridge, has had some negative press, so we have decided that within 60 days, we'll let you read your corporate mail on your device. But that was about 4 months ago. So
there we go.
Yeah. So, I should clarify. You can read your web mail on a Playbook. So there are apps right on the Playbook when you buy it for Hotmail and Gmail and Yahoo Mail. But if you want to read your ISP, like, say, Bell or Rogers or Telus, or your company's mail, you can't do that.
Yeah, that has to go through the BlackBerry Bridge. Mark Saltzman.
Unless you have a nearby BlackBerry, that's correct.
Exactly. Mark, you can find his blog posts at sync.ca. He is, of course, a regular contributor to all of the movies at Cineplex Odeon. You can see Mark's face on the big screen at all the Cineplex theaters pre pre-movie, always go in early, buy your popcorn, settle in, and spend a little bit of time with Mark Saltzman. I think that's a great idea.
Thanks, Steve. Great to chat with you.
It's nice talking to you, Mark. You have a good time.
You too, buddy.
Cheers. Bye now. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.